It's Radio Kerry 96 to 98 FM. Welcome along to Solid Gold Saturday with myself, Brian Hurley, as we enjoy a special program. It's not often we have guests in studio, but we have this evening. They've graced me with their presence. Two legends in Irish music. Let me tell you about the music we've just played so far. It's probably, well, you know, the Miami, Fran Tull and the Miami. Clap your hands, you've just heard. And starting off Solid Gold Saturday this evening, we have the Horselips and Trouble with a capital T. Reason being, we have in studio from the Horselips, Mr. Johnny Feen, and from the Miami, Mr. Steve Travers. Guys, you're very welcome to Solid Gold Saturday and to Radio Kerry.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
How are you this evening?
Good.
Very well.
Pretty good, yeah.
What are you up to tonight?
Well, we're doing a little gig out in Castle Gregory in Netherjacks. Lovely spot, actually. I haven't been there before myself, you know, but yeah. So we're rocking on out there tonight.
Yeah. You've been to the Kingdom a few times, Johnny. You've played there on numerous occasions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, over the years, yeah.
And you always do get a good response down these parts.
Always, yeah, always. In Kerry, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, Horselips always got a great, you know, great response in Kerry, yeah.
Tell us about the first track we did play from the Horselips, Trouble with the capital T. Does that, is that you?
Yeah, that is me. it's me singing the song. That particular track is featured on an album called The Book of Invasions. It became a single and sort of a fairly, you know, pretty big hit for the band.
Mm.
It was one of the most popular numbers, like, in the set, like, when the, you know, when the band was playing live, and always went down, like,
yeah, and it still gets tremendous airplay in on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the one that I hear most, you know, like, but
yeah,
you know, and then, like, it's the other obvious one is Jerry Doom, of course, as well, like, you know, but so yeah, those two, another one, Guest of the Nations, one I hear.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Well, we will get to play some more Horselips as the program goes on. The lads have graced us for the next 2 hours as we enjoy four decades of music. We're taking you through the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s, Steve.
Yeah.
Is it all relevant to you?
Well, I was there. For better or for worse.
Steve, the Miami, clap your hands. Now, to be honest, it's probably the first time, it's the first time I've ever played it, and I've only probably heard it once or twice ever. It's before my time.
Of course.
But would you call it the main track from the Miami, or the best known track, or?
Well, the Miami has such a long lifespan, but sure, it's sort of indicative of what the Miami was all about. Good time, great fun, everybody clapping their hands, jumping up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And Fran was such a wonderful man with the audience. He'd get them to participate, and I remember night after night, every single night, we'd do that number and the crowd would stomp their face and jump up their feet and jump up and down. And wonderful, brings back memories. I haven't heard it for a long time.
Mm. Excellent. So we are with us until 8 o'clock. We're going to open the phone lines now if anyone wants to give Johnny or Steve a question this evening. You're willing to give us a call. 0667123666 is the number. Or you can text in your question, 0868 96 97 98. It is Radio Kerry's Solid Gold Saturday, and we are here until 8 o'clock. Coming up next, we're going to play some classic Beach Boys. Classic Beach Boys on Radio Kerry's Solid Gold Saturday. God only knows. Johnny brings back fond memories for you. One of your favourites.
Absolutely, Brian. Yeah. I think it's possibly the best sort of love, you know, love song ever written. It's just beautiful. Carl Winslow's voice is you know, just incredible, you know. Mm. The funny thing about Carl wasn't really the lead singer in the Beach Boys, but for some reason he was selected because he was the one that did all the really falsetto, the high harmonies, and he was selected to do that song, and it just, anybody else wouldn't have made it.
It wouldn't be the same.
Fantastic, yeah. And the arrangements, the whole arrangement of the song.
Yes. You were admiring the bass playing on it, Steve.
Sure, yeah. One of the biggest influences on my playing was a lady called Carol Kay, and she was actually a housewife who decided to take up the electric bass when most recordings were done with a double bass. And she did the famous lines on Good Vibrations and just an incredible player. She influenced so many people, herself and another bass player called James Demerson, who would have done the same for Tom Lomoto.
Yeah. And speaking of influences, Johnny, who was your main influence when you were getting into the music industry? Now, you started as a teenager.
As a teenager, yeah. In the early years, I mean, the Beatles were the beginning. Well, there was, I think Presley, Elvis Presley was the real beginning, you know, like rock and roll in the 50s.
But yeah.
I think when the Beatles happened in 63 or whatever, that really was for, I think I was probably 12. Or something, you know, at that stage, you know.
And was it that stage that you took up the guitar for the first?
Yeah, that's when I. I mean, about maybe 2 years before, I'd gotten a guitar for Christmas, you know, kind of thing. But it was when the Beatles came along that it all seemed to make so, you know what I mean? You heard, I Want to Hold Your Hand and Please Please Me, you know, it really sort of like...
Yeah,
fuels you up into a, you know, God, yeah, I really have to do, you know, got to do this.
It was a way of getting a girlfriend, wasn't it?
But mind you, I was a little bit young at the time, but it was kind of, you were starting to think along those lines.
and then as you went into your late teens, Johnny, what was it that you listened to that you got inspiration for?
Yeah,
from
through the 60s, I mean, like the Beatles, like were the beginning, and it was so fantastic, the Beatles, you know. But then you had the Stones, and then into 65, then 66, you had the sort of the rhythm and blues, kind of happening, and you had groups like Small Faces and Spencer Davis, you know.
Yeah.
And all that was an interest, because there were great groups, fantastic groups. And then around 67, of course, Jimi Hendrix came along, and that was just like unbelievable and totally. The guitar playing
changed. Yeah.
What he was doing, you know, was just impossible.
Yeah.
For somebody like me. But to try and aspire to something like that, you know, it was fantastic.
And what took you down the blues route, Johnny? Because it does mean a lot to you. And
it does an awful lot. Yeah, I grew up. Partly in Limerick, and I grew up in Shannon, Shannon Airport, which is a very young town at the time. And the unique thing about Shannon, was that there was an awful lot of different nationalities living in Shannon. And I actually got to hear, Tamla Motown stuff, I think possibly before anybody in Ireland had ever heard, you know, because the kids that were American kids used to get sent over. Albums and singles from America from there, you know. And they have little youth club parties in Shannon. And I actually got to hear, the Supremes, possibly, though. I mean, I'm not making any claim on it, but it was like 1963 or 4 or something, you know. But there was that, the blues thing sort of started out of a folk, kind of a folk club in Shannon as well. There was kind of a folk club running. And there was a few friends, so we were into the Stones, you know, we loved the Stones as well. And we knew, a guy had a couple of these strange albums, and we hadn't really heard the blues, you know, sort of thing, but we said we better check it out, he was playing, Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf, and that was that was a total revelation, you know, for the first time.
And the blues didn't have prominence in Ireland,
not at all, you know, it would only be, it was a very select, wouldn't it, Steve, especially in 65, you know, 1965, it would be only the very few, I suppose, would have, possibly in Dublin, maybe, it might have had, a bit of a thing going, but certainly in Shannon or Limerick, it wouldn't. But that's how I started. You know, I got very interested in the guitar playing thing and the blues. Really interested me what the guys were doing. You know.
Yeah, we're gonna play a track that you've picked out for us, Johnny. It's John Mayall with Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton, yeah.
And it's All Your Life. Do you want to tell us
All Your Love? Yeah.
All Your Love, and I can't even read the CD in front of me. Can you tell us?
That particular album was a huge influence on nearly every guitar player who's around today. It was a huge influence, you know. It was the first, when Eric Clapton joined John Mayall's Blues Breakers, that was a huge break, you know. Nobody had ever done what Clapton did on the guitar. That was a huge breakthrough. So it was a learning curve for every, you know. I mean, if you could learn to play anything like what Clapton was doing and the sound he was getting, it was like... Just, you know, it was fantastic. So, and that was, again, that was the British blues boom very much had an influence on a lot of guitar players as well.
Here it is, Radio Kerry's Solid Gold Saturday. Welcome back to the show. It's Brian Hurley sitting in with Johnny Feen of the Horselips and Steve Travers of the Miami. Now, we've got a caller on the line. We want to say good evening to Brendan Cahill. Brendan, how are you?
Good evening, Brian. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Whereabouts are you, Brendan?
I'm, would you believe, midway between Limerick and Nina at the moment, Brian. I'm receiving Radio Kerry loud and clear.
Well, that's the main thing, isn't it?
So your influence is far flung, my dear man. Where I'm heading home to down between Carrick and Shore and Clonmel down south to Berwick, maybe a part of the country. Steve might be somewhat familiar with
Steve,
as well.
Steve's part of the country. Here's Steve.
How are you, Brendan?
Steve, and how are you, sir?
Very well, thanks.
And hello to Johnny there as well. No, I just wanted to say very quickly, lads, I mean, as somebody who almost matured back in the 70s, you know, a huge amount of thanks due to you guys for a lot of good music over a lot of years.
Thanks, Brendan.
That's very much, Brendan.
And I'm sure there's tales there that would like me. Particularly, I mean, I was probably a Horselips fan, maybe more so than the Miami, but the history of the Miami and all you went through, guys, you know, big stuff.
And what was it from the Horselips? What would be your favourite, Brendan? Favourite track?
Stuff like the Tawn. I mean, any of it, you know. I wouldn't start selecting one. That's another massive stuff.
Yeah.
Massive stuff, really. But you know, I mean, roll back the memories. But, you know, thinking back to Fano Tool and all that. I mean, Steve, can I remember maybe after your the famous incident or whatever? A night when you came back on stage in Carrick and Shore for the first night back. Would that be right?
It would have been in or about the first week. The first night back was in Sea Point in Galway.
And then
I remember that being, for the crowd that night, quite emotional.
It was, yeah. It was great to be back, great to be alive. Especially in Carrick and Shore, I was born and reared there.
I mean, the things that fellas get for the music, and that's going a lot further. But anyway, but great stuff, great to hear you, lads.
Thanks very much, Brendan.
And good that you're still putting it out there as well.
Doing a bit, as I say, doing a bit.
Can I go off the rails a little bit, Brian?
Sorry?
Can I go off the rails just a little bit?
Well, why not? You've come this far.
Well, this is only a money-making opportunity, maybe, for the lads. Oh. Do you remember some years ago, they wanted a new national anthem for the kind of to cover the Irish rugby team?
They did, yeah.
Happy.
Right.
With the one we had, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of, in the back of my mind, but I never told anybody, you know, I kind of thought trouble would be a marvel.
Would be.
If you put in Ireland, you see, instead of trouble.
Yeah.
You know.
You might well have something there, Brendan.
Listen, I'm boring.
Brendan, thanks very much for the call.
Can I say one last thing, Brian?
You can. Yep.
I mean, when I say this, and the 30,000 out there like me, that, you know, Horselips kind of were an originator of music. And maybe the Miami mightn't have been considered, you know, of maybe the same original stuff all else.
Well,
is there anything in that?
Yeah, Brendan, I would say that Fran O'Toole was just about to embark on a massive career in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that was cut short. But yeah, if you listen to his original material, it was fabulous.
What I'd be trying to just follow on by saying that is that maybe when you talk about the crowds you were playing for, you know, a lot of the time people heard what Steve was talking about, what he heard maybe coming from the States. Most people didn't get a chance to hear that kind of thing. So they only want to hear what they heard on radio.
On the radio,
that you had no choices but to try and repeat that or you wouldn't get the dates.
Yeah. Brendan, I'm going to have to cut you short, Brendan, because we have so much to get through.
Cut me short, you've given me a date. You're on the next 10 somewhere.
Take care, Brendan.
Right, Brendan.
Bye for now.
Thanks very much for that. That was a nice call for you guys this evening. We're going to go back to the music fairly rapidly. Something you've picked out for us this time, Steve.
Yeah, again, from a bass player's point of view, there's a riff in this next number by the Rolling Stones. And for some strange reason, the Stones got one of the best rhythm and blues sounds of any band, because the whole English thing took it up and with a vengeance. And if you listen to the riff, there's a bass riff that sort of runs when we all thought when we were kids that all you had to do was hold your finger at the top and just slide down.
Slide down the string and you were there, yeah.
So everybody could play this one. So
if you're still trying then.
So I would suggest, yes, you can try this at home if you want. Yeah. It's an easy one.
On Radio Kerry, Solid Gold Saturday, 96 to 98 FM, as we bring you a special. We're joined in studio by Steve Travers of the Miami and several other bands, The Crack. And we'll go back to Steve's early days in music as well. And Mr. Johnny Feen of the Horselips. And the two lads are in the kingdom for one particular reason. They wanted to be on Radio Kerry. And another reason, they're playing tonight in Castle Gregory in Ned Natterjack's. So if you're in and around that region, give a shout over and you're promised to have an absolutely brilliant night of Irish music at its best, guitar playing at its most supreme. We're gonna take a break. If you do want to give us a shout, we'll give you the numbers once again. And thanks to Brendan who gave us a shout. Also, actually, we want to say a quick hello to Sis Connor who gave us a buzz. And she was recalling days where Johnny Feen had a cup of tea in her house. And he ate all the sandwiches on the rest of the lads as well. and she brought up Joe Wynn. Who was with the Horselips at the time. So thanks for that, sis, and thanks for tuning our way, a regular listener to the Solid Gold Weekend programme. We'll take a break and we'll go back to the early days of Steve Travers and Johnny Feen next. Your choice in the kingdom, it's Radio Kerry 96 to 98 FM, Solid Gold Saturday special in studio, Johnny Feen and Steve Travers. Were they the best band of all time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better than the Beatles.
It doesn't. So.
No.
Absolutely.
Simple. Yeah. Right. Let's go right back. Steve, when you hear the name Steve Travers, the Miami comes into mind.
Sure.
Straight out.
Sure.
You weren't with the Miami a long time.
No, about 18 months at most. I spent most of my life in beat groups and rock and pop groups, but. In the mid 70s, we were all seduced by the money.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's what happened when Dickie originally had the Miami with what later became the Sands, but when there was a split. But he recruited new blood, and this would have been in the late 60s.
Late
60s.
Yeah, 69.
There was a fabulous band, Johnny, you'd remember, called The Chosen Few.
Great band, yeah.
And the lead singer was Fran O'Toole, who's a keyboard player, singer. He was huge, huge talent. And Paul Ashford was on bass. And so what Dickie did was very, very clever. They went out and they recruited all the best of the beat groups.
The best of, the musicians in the beat groups.
Yeah. And of course, bands, one thing, Boris and Ollie, you join a band, you think, well, I'll just join this for the few quid.
For 6 months, make some money for,
buy a car and you get a mortgage and you're stuck.
Yeah. What was the money like, Steve? Let's talk, what exactly were the likes of the Miami being paid to in equivalent to nowadays?
Well, you see, there's, when I joined the Miami in 75, it had totally changed. The halcyon days of the show bands really were the 60s.
Yeah.
Off to the 60s. And by the time I joined the Miami, it wasn't called the Miami Show Band, really. It was called the Miami. It was a pop group.
Yeah.
And Fran was being groomed, as I said earlier, for international stardom. So it was very much. So we were on, like a lot of the pop groups today, we were on wages.
Yeah.
But during the 60s, the money that was turned over and earned by the show bands was colossal. People like the, say, the Capitol and the Royal,
the Royal,
and the original.
It was big, was it? Was big money. It was
huge, huge money. By today's standards, it would be colossal.
Right.
That was when management and started to get a real grip on the thing. I've got my first cousin's young son is lead singer with a pop group today called the D-Side.
Yeah, doing quite very well for themselves.
They are, yeah, they've gone off now. I think they were with Blue recently.
Right,
now they've gone off to do their tour. Well, but my first cousin's son is the lead singer, Ryan O'Rean.
Mm.
And I think, again, like Louis' bands, at the beginning they put on expenses and wages or whatever. Later on, if it takes off and it works, they'll all do really well. But it's just economics, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But getting back to your question, we were on wages, and I didn't intend at all to stay in that band. In fact, Tony Garrity, God rest him, and myself, we had intended, we'll make a few quid here, and we went off and formed that super band.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, Tony Garrity, God rest him, and myself, we had intended, we'll make a few quid here, and we went off and formed that super band.
Yeah. I think that was the, like for a lot of musicians who played. I mean, the thing about it was, I mean, you were able to make a pretty good living, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, that's, and perhaps you have a wife and a child, so, you know, you have to put, you know,
mm-hmm.
consider that as well. So for a lot of musicians who perhaps were struggling in groups, you know, groups weren't really making a lot of money in those days, you know. Yeah. So you have to look at your options and you say, well, I mean, Miami or in capital, or you know what I mean, I can make very good money with you.
Yeah.
Even though you may not intend to stay very longer, for a year or for, you know. For
having said that, John, you, Horsips really changed everything. They, because they were one of the bands, apart from, say, an early infiltration by a band like The Creatures, who had, into the ballroom.
Sure. Into the ballroom, for a short time.
Horsips were the ones that really broke into the band.
When you go in there, when you go into the show band scene and the touring, do you lose track of yourself, Steve?
Well, you might do 30 days on the trot or something like that. I was a bit of a rebel in the show band thing, so far as I never played the same part twice, whereas a lot of the show bands were capable of learning parts. I never really had that ability. I would make it up as I went along. In fact, when I joined the Miami, I met them in Ballybun, which is not so far from here. Mm-hmm. I went down to meet them for the first time. They handed me a tape, so we're going on a holiday, learn that. We see you in Dundalk.
Yes, on stage, have you set by the time you get to Dundalk.
And when we went up to Dundalk to play the gig, I mean, I hadn't listened to the tape at all. I just said, well, you start off, I'll play with you. And I was very lucky insofar as Fran loved that. He loved the idea of being spontaneous.
Spontaneous, yeah. Yes, right.
But most people wouldn't put up with that.
Yeah.
Mm. In fact, when Johnny and I play, There's no set pattern, is there? I mean,
no, there isn't. I mean, there is. Each song will have its structure and key, but there is mm-hmm. no set. There is no absolute, you know, set pattern to it. You know, it can. But you know, it's always different every night. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's great. Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. Well.
So you're a bunch of blaggers going.
I put it like this: if Horsips ever reform, well, you'll see Johnny as a member of Horsips, and he'll play in a balanced situation. But if you want to hear Johnny Fiend, the virtuoso, or if you want to hear his tour thing, really come and see this. You would never get what you get away with now. You would never ever get away with in a structured band.
That's true. You see, between a two-man, you know, there is a lot of interplay. That in a band format, there would be other, you know, there would be keyboards, there would be bass, there would be a drummer, perhaps, a drummer. So
you have to be
more disciplined.
We're going to take a break for news, guys. We're going to come back and rejoin this subject. There you have it. Opening up the second hour of Solid Gold Saturday, the Horsips. Derek Doom. I was just talking to Johnny off air about the most famous Irish riff of all time, or worldwide riff of all time. Did it come to you easily, Johnny? Or
I was kind of lucky, as I was saying to you, I was kind of lucky in the sense that I had been playing it for a while on tenor banjo. It was a tune that I knew, tune's called O'Neill's Cavalry, and I'd been playing it for a while. I was trying to remember, I possibly may have learned the tune in County Limerick. At a session from a player, but I had been playing it on banjo, and I'd been toying around with it. I kind of sort of put it from banjo to guitar. I knew it would be a very strong riff, if I put it. So I worked on it for a while, and sure enough, like it, it turned out to be a good one, as I say.
Let's go into your day in the horse lips, Tony.
Yeah.
And you're still together. You're recording at the moment, are you?
We are actually doing a bit of recording at the moment. Yeah. It was all sparked off. Going back to last March, there was a great exhibition up in Derry. That was put on by three super fans of the band, you know, and they spent a long time, you know, getting some amazing material together from all parts of the world. And one of the guys, Jim Nealis, had a fantastic collection. Every poster that Hostel ever had, and he had them all specially framed. That started the whole thing. Yeah. And there was another lad called Paul Callan, King's Court, and a lad called Stephen Furze. So the three boys got together, and they sort of had a couple of ideas initially. It was going to be maybe a small, you know, small, yeah. But it blossomed.
It
blossomed, yeah. And it ended up being put on in Derry, you know, the whole exhibition. And that sort of the band agreed to, you know, to come and open the exhibition initially. You know, like we hadn't any even kind of plans to do your play or do anything like that. But again, that. As time went on, we agreed to kind of do a short acoustic 20-minute set, you know,
yeah.
Which we did at the exhibition.
Yeah.
It was featured on Nationwide, I think, and
yeah.
And so that sort of sparked it, you know. We were actually, for the first time we broke up in 1980. So, like, you know, for the first time, the band actually played together.
He broke up, Johnny. Was it solely because of musical indifference, or, you know, and where you wanted to go and where you wanted to bring the band? Or was it the fact that you'd just come to the end of the journey at that time?
I think, I think possibly we had come to the end of the journey, you know. Some people actually, well, it's funny, like, with the lifespan of a band, seems to be in a lot of cases 10 years, or I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are a lot of, you know, bands that what you've got to do and say, mm-hmm. like, and, you know, that's it, not always the case, of course, but we had sort of like reached a point where we thought we had all we had to say,
yeah.
was said, you know, kind
yeah.
of thing, and we weren't really sure if going into the '80s,
mm-hmm.
would there was a lot of changes, of course, late 70s, 77, 78, the whole punk explosion.
Yeah.
A lot of things changed, you know.
Yeah.
So, we had played, we had toured America at that stage quite a bit, like, I got a pretty big following the last.
Did you want to do, obviously everyone wants to do well stateside in America. I mean, you've hit the jackpot, you know, financially, and I mean to be recognised stateside and do very, very well. You've done it all. Once you've cracked Europe, that's the natural progression.
It is, of course. Yeah, for every band, for every European band. Yeah. I mean,
what was it that stopped you going that little bit further, John?
A bit further, yeah. Possibly that they thought that maybe we weren't going to, you know, in a really big sense, in the, you know, the EU, you know, the.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe we're going to be really a big of a success. I think that is possibly certainly one of the main factors anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But the band, you know, had actually built up quite a following, especially on the East Coast of America.
Yeah.
You know, Boston, Philadelphia, New York.
Yeah.
A bit on the West Coast, San Francisco, of course.
Steve was telling me it's all males that follow the horses. I don't believe it for a minute.
Absolutely. It wasn't a big bait factor in there.
Oh, yeah, he said the lads went to your gigs and the girls went to his gigs.
This is a good time to say hello to my wife, Anne.
It is a good time.
And my daughter, Sean. I welcome them back from their holidays. Don't listen to this.
Greetings from Kerry, and thanks for loaning them to us for a few hours. Steve, as you said earlier, you're only in the Miami for 18 months or so.
Yeah.
And then obviously 75, and the incident happened, and you went on. It wasn't something that you weren't going to repeat, even though for a short sense you did with the new Miami.
Yeah.
But what stage did you say, right, this is it. I'm changing. I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah. Well, when you're growing up, you want to be famous. You want to be a pop star. Everybody does, you know. You put the guitar on and prance about in front of the mirror and think, I'm Paul McCartney, you know. But when you get there, it's a lot more than it's a lot of hard work to stay there. But what I found very difficult was the fact that I had sort of honed my instrument for a long time, and all of a sudden I was famous for something else, famous for being involved in the incident. And after 12 months, it became enough, too much for me, and I decided I want to pack this in. I didn't like the recognition, I didn't like any of that. So I just wanted to get my head together and went back down to Carrigan's Euro and played. I was very lucky insofar as that I had great support from my wife Anne. As Johnny will tell you, without somebody like that behind you, your head can be turned in all sorts of directions, you know. But we survived it, and I think that's perhaps one of the catalysts that joins Johnny and myself. That we, you know, we've come through some pretty difficult times, and we've survived. Here we are, still playing, and very lucky to be playing. I think that's the mark of success.
Yeah.
If you can, after 30 years of whatever,
if
you can say, I'm still playing, I'm still enjoying it.
I'm still enjoying it, which is, I think is the big, you know, really, it really is an awful lot to do with it, the actual, you know, enjoying what you're enjoying.
Yeah, we played in at the heart of trad music there recently. We played up in Clare.
Mm-hmm.
And when we play our trad stuff, we play quite funky. I thought we might have been seen out by the sheriff.
We were saying, here we are in the heart of the home of traditional music, you know.
And we were under the same roof as our hero Seamus Ennis.
Seamus Ennis actually used to stay up and play there,
in the high. But we play the trad stuff against hip hop and house. Rhythms,
yeah.
Obviously, if we can get away with this in Clare, we get away with it anywhere. Yeah. We get four encores, so we must have done something right.
Lovely people, I have to say, at the gig, and it was really good.
Yeah. We like playing. In fact, being in Kerry is great bonds for us, because both Horsets and Miami and The Crack, which is our one of my real pet projects with CBS at the time. Funny enough, we always associated Kerry with reggae music. They were huge into reggae. We had a number called Handcuffs, which was, and to see the young people
at that time
was huge
indeed.
So they were quite. It was a great place to play. Kerry was a great thing. Always, obviously, the pub fair and it was just a wonderful bit.
The Rosa Tralee International Fest?
Yeah, we headlined the Rosa Tralee last year.
Somewhere, yeah.
We did all of the festivals. We went right the way from Bonkran up the north. We headlined at the Rory Gallagher Festival in
Ballyshannon.
Twice.
I think it was twice. Yes, it was. It was indeed, yeah.
We've done something.
A number of other festivals as well, actually, yeah. Over the last two summers,
But there's a massive return to live music and to good music now, both here and in the UK.
It is, yeah. It was something we were talking about during the week, Steve, that people are becoming more appreciative of live performances, of original material, and it drifted away for quite a while.
Oh, it did, yeah. And this, unfortunately, the demise of the show bands, the problem was that there was no place for young people to learn their trades. I always made a point of joining, so I joined a band called the Mick Delahunty Junior Orchestra when I knew that everybody in the band was far superior to myself. I just wanted to learn from these guys, you know, and I did, but unfortunately during the 80s and 90s there was no place to go, you know.
It changed. I think, you know, I mean, the whole disco thing really really took over, which is unfortunate, really, because, I mean, as Steve said, the young people who had been in the 60s and 70s, you know, learning instruments and, you know, live playing, you know, getting into it, it all seemed to go out the window, didn't it?
I have no problem with disco, as long as people see a disco as some disco and dance.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody to tell me that, you know, you go sit down and listen to a disco, that's, to me, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's just,
Yeah. But, Steve, would it be fair to say that, you know, being in the show band itself and doing the gigs and playing the music that you played, that a lot of the musicians that were in show bands lost their own originality and their identity by being in the show bands in the first place?
Well, the good ones, they would always stand out. There's, going back to, say, the Tipper Carlton, who were probably the first real show band, the first guys to stand up, because before that the orchestras or band would sit down and play the parts. So the Tipper Carlton were the first, and they had people like Barney Skillen, who would have been, he'd stand out anywhere.
Fabulous guitar player, but yeah. And you're talking about like early 60s there, Steve.
Yeah. And inspired us all. We would go, Johnny would have gone, I would have gone, Dave Prim, Gabriel, all of these people would have gone and be inspired by this man. But there were some great, one of the most influential bass players in my time, for me, was a guy from Cork called Cranston King, who encouraged me and told me that I was, you know, had something done when everybody else thought, you know, this guy's playing rubbish. But when you try, I think the best thing you can ever do is encourage a kid, you know, and as I say, you know, in 100 years' time, nobody will care how much you earn, but the world may be a different place because you were important in the life of a child, and that's very important to me, give somebody encouragement.
Okay, we'll take this music.
Today with Brian Hurley.
Welcome back to the program. Brian Hurley with you until 8 with Johnny Feen of the Horslips and Steve Travers of the Miami. But then after the Miami, it was something would it be fair to say totally different, Steve?
Totally different, yeah. As I say, we wanted to get away from all of that. And we put a ska band together originally because ska was the thing. It was a bit of fun. We had Angus McInally fronting the band, Angus playing guitar player and Funny Kai. And when Angus went to RT, we sort of had to come up with some really good plans. So the singer in the band, Tommy Lundy, who sounded very, very like Paul McCartney, we sort of gives an opportunity to develop the songwriting side of things. And so we got an album deal through this song. We did a song called When the Time Comes, which is produced by Johnny's bass player, Barry Devlin. From Horslips, and it sounded so like Paul McCartney, I suppose. Everybody thought it was, including Johnny.
Absolutely. The first time I heard it, you know,
And you did get word back on it, Steve.
We did, yeah. In fact, Paul McCartney's friend, a guy called Earl Loken, who had done the tour with Paul, took it up to Macca and said, have a listen to this. You didn't tell me you'd released some stuff under another name. And
yes.
Paul McCartney was well amused, loved the album, and George, I was going to say George Harrison, no, George...
George Martin.
George Martin, the producer, wrote to me and said, well, I like your stuff, but it's a bit too close, fellas. Give it a break.
Can we have a listen? You want to dedicate this?
Yeah, I'd like to dedicate this to the singer Tommy Lundy, who unfortunately died last November of cancer, and miss him very much, but this is a tribute, the album is a tribute to him.
Just coming up to 25 minutes before 8. How time flies when you're enjoying yourselves in such good company. Steve Travers of the Miami and the Crack and Johnny Feen of the Horslips have joined me since 6 o'clock this evening because they're playing tonight in the Kingdom of Kerry. They're out in Castle Gregory in Ned Natterjack's. And we'll stop the plugging, but what time are you starting, lads?
Half ten, I think.
And I'm heading out there. I'm really looking forward to the gig, lads, and it's going to be great to see you play together. And from different backgrounds. Have you come from different backgrounds musically as such, or
Very different? No. Our influences were, you know, more or less the same. Maybe to Steve, like it wasn't so much the blues, you know.
Yeah.
But everything else.
Yeah, would have said Rhythm of Blues, really.
Rhythm of Blues, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, of course, yeah.
We, just before the break, I said a famous Irishman introduced you, another great musician. Do you want to tell us how that all came about, Steve?
Yeah, well, we were, it's about late 75, we were receiving an award as top pop band in Ireland, up in Miami. And Horslips had top rock band,
I think it might have been.
And there was lots and lots of sort of showbiz people at this particular thing. We had a sort of a meet and greet or welcome type party beforehand. It was in Port Marnock, quite near where I eventually lived. excuse me, and the Chieftains were there, Van Morrison.
Van Morrison, I think, yeah.
And I was just, I opened my guitar case and I was giving a bit of a polish, a bit of a guitar.
Prior to, yeah.
sort of gear, I'm a gear junkie, and a friend of mine, Rory Gallagher, saw the guitar and came over and wanted to see more of it and pick it up and start playing. And they called these two guys from Horsewhips over. One was Johnny Fain, the other was Barry Devlin. And he introduced, Rory Gallagher introduced Johnny and myself and Barry, and had a good old time there. And
that was the first time I actually met, that was the first time I met Steve, yeah.
And what guitar were you brooding over as the old man?
A Rickenbacker stereo,
which would have been,
beauty, it was
beauty, yeah, absolutely.
It was a lovely guitar, checkered binding, gold, Grover's, it was really special. And I had actually bought it from a guy called Keith. His sister was a presenter on RTE, Mansfield, Keith Mansfield,
right,
Did you click straight away?
Sorry?
Did you click straight away?
Well, no, we met that evening, but and then of course, I mean, it was an awards kind of thing, you know, the hustle and bustle or whatever, but that was the actual first time we met, and then,
actually, the next time we met was, we had a show in Wembley, and because I also wear another hat and promoter as well, so we had a show in Wembley, and Johnny arrived with
we were actually playing at the show, you know,
and there was a little bit of hassle with I think with security or something like that.
It was a bit mad on the day, you know.
The Horsewhips were acting up, were they?
No, this is just me.
Johnny and he was another.
I was living in London. This would have been, I suppose, the 92 maybe or something.
I remember being struck by how cool Johnny was during the whole sort of problem with the security thing.
Yeah.
And stuck in my mind. And later on, when we were both at a loose end, I had, you know, I was absolutely delighted to team up with this.
Fantastic. And that would have been, I think, 1996. 96 that we actually then got together and, you know, started.
And we,
in London.
Yeah, we had we put a band together called the Psychopaths, and it was Psycho P-A-T-S.
Yes.
And it was really one of the best bands I've ever played.
It was indeed a fine band, And very, in London, it was very, very,
hugely popular.
Really popular, hugely popular in London.
Yeah. Dave Lennox from, who was with Ginger Baker.
And
Danny Bongos.
Famous Danny on percussion, a fine percussionist, Danny. It was a great band. It was
a little bit sort of played above everybody's head really for a while, and got a bit outrageous. So we had to come back down to earth.
So then Steve and I then began to, you know, work together as a duo. More or less from then on, really, you know.
We'll get into
98, wouldn't it be? Yeah, 98.
I think Johnny's played with me longer than he was with Horsley.
Possibly, you know. Years roll on.
I just want to say a quick birthday greeting to Joe Walsh in Kilmoyle. He's celebrating his 40th today, so happy birthday to you, Joe. And that comes in from Clodagh, Sarah and Ronan. We're going to play a piece of music as picked out by Johnny this time, some Spencer Davis group.
One of my favourites, yeah.
From Spencer Davis?
One of my favourites from Spencer Davis. Somebody Help Me.
Noreen was on to us. Noreen to Nana, and she just wanted to say that she's thoroughly enjoying the programme. And thanks for all the fond memories, guys. Especially you, Steve, and the Miami, and your days in the Brandon. You came to the Brandon on a number of occasions.
Oh, we did indeed, yeah. One of our favourite spots. Absolutely. I always remember the great food there.
Yeah. There still is. The phone's ringing again. We're going to take a quick break, and we're back in just a tick. T8 FM, Brian Hurley with you on Solid Gold Saturday special with Johnny Fien and Steve Travers. That's Jigsaw and the girl with the lovely voice. You picked out that especially, did you?
We did. We produced, Johnny and I were working on an album for, sponsored by Guinness in the UK, and it was for the O'Neill's chain, and we... it was a bit of a marathon. We produced two bands every day.
Every day.
These were bands that had never been in the studio before.
A lot of them had never actually been in the States. I mean, they were experienced in playing in the pubs and that, mm-hmm. but they'd actually been in the studio, yeah.
But we were particularly taken by a band called Jigsaw and the girl's voice. She's just mm-hmm. a fantastic voice, but she gorgeous. Yeah, she gave it all up for love. I think she did. With her boyfriend and forgot the music business, but I think we've lost out there because she could have been another Barbara Dixon or whatever.
She really had a lovely quality, that lovely mm-hmm. English folk quality in yeah. her voice, you know, yeah. And that's a lovely song as well, isn't it?
It is a gorgeous song. Yeah. We got a call from Michael Fox O'Connor. Again, Steve, he's talking about the days of the Miami. And he was wondering, you know, people from the show band era, and the likes of Tim Quinn, Tony Brogan, Paul Ashford, Des Lee, where did they go to and what happened? And, you know.
Well, Des is out in South Africa riding a zebra or something. I'm sure he might even be listening to this, I don't know. But Paul Ashford still plays, and I've seen him on the show band. Website recently, this show bands, irishshowbands.net.
.net, yeah.
A good
yeah.
website to
look at. It is, yeah.
Paul's put a few comments on that. Everybody's still sort of working around, working with Tony Bogan. I'm not sure about Tony, I haven't seen him for years.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there's still a big fraternity of the show bands talking about. But you've got some fabulous people from Kerry, I mean, the Cortons, Billy Corton.
Yeah.
DJ Corton. Billy Corton was a world-class sax player.
Yeah.
That was fabulous.
And Billy is playing it up to seven nights a week still to this day.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they're up the walls and it's, you know.
Fantastic.
It is great to see.
It is. They're still playing because these fellas, they learned their trade the hard way. I mean, from, you know, they would... In 1 minute they were playing something by the Beach Boys and turning over a really good cover version of it. Mm-hmm. Then they were playing something by the Four Tops. So they really had to know their stuff.
Yeah. They certainly did, yeah.
Guys, it's almost come to an end. The 2 hours is almost over, believe it or believe it not. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you both here.
It's a
first time for me to have two studio guests in, and really, really enjoyed myself. And although I was born in 79, it all probably happened before my time. It's great to hear you talking about stories that, you know, the likes of my parents would have told me about the dance halls and the show bands and, yeah. I mean, the start of Celtic rock with the horse lips and everything. What can we expect from the gig tonight, quickly, before we finish up?
It'll be a little bit of a mixture because, Steve and I like to mix it up. I mean, obviously, there'll be, you know, a number of horse lips songs featured, but there'll be stuff from the 60s, and also I play a lot of traditional mandolin now, so there'll be some of that, and also I think a little bit of blues as well, you know. Yeah, so
yeah. Yeah, people say that we do a sort of a funky version of
I'm looking forward to this, so R&B and a bit of techno in the back.
Yeah. I'd say that the first three letters in funk is fun, F-U-N, and that's really what it's about.
Yeah, that's what really, that's really what it's about, yeah.
No, it is going to be a great gig, as I said, if you're in and around the Castle Gregory area tonight, from 10 o'clock onwards, just pop into Nathan
Astor. Just a very, very quick hello to my lovely wife, Maggie, and also to my mum, and also to Marianne and Rafael.
Hi, Joel.
I actually live here in Kerry.
Oh, excellent.
And to all the people listening in the States, especially in San Francisco. Yeah.
And I think, Dory in Philadelphia and S. Pam Templeton in San Francisco, yeah.
That's great. Thanks for bringing them all to Radio Kerry this evening, along with all our other listeners we have on the World Wide Web. It's great modern technology. Guys, Steve Travers, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Nice to see you again, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon. Johnny, it's been a pleasure meeting you for the first time, and hopefully you'll come and join us again next time you're in our area.
Absolutely.
We're going to leave you up. Thank you, Johnny. We're going to leave you out with a horse lips track. A shortened version. We're going to cut it down. Too into our talking. Guests of the Nation from the Horse Lips. That's it for me, Brian, for Solid Gold Saturday. We're back again, same time, same place. Tomorrow evening between 6 and 8. Back to normality. But it's good to have a difference every now and again. Have yourselves a safe, great Saturday night. Enjoy the Rosalie International Festival if you're coming our way. For me, Brian, bye-bye.